If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. Today we have three services, and during this evening's 6:30 service, we will be remembering Keith Fisher, who was a minister at this church. Pastoral news. Please remember Ron Kingham in your prayers, and the last time we heard, he was enjoying visits. The cinema trip to see Silence is not happening today, even though it's noted on the service paper. We're moving into Kingston Church's Action on Homelessness winter night shelter season, and as it will begin on the 1st of February. If you're able to support this, either at John Bunyan, and I'm afraid I don't know which evening that is, or during our two sessions, which will be on Saturday the 11th and Saturday the 25th of February, not here but at the Well in Surbiton, please could you show your interest by writing your name on the board that's over there. And that's it. Thank you.
And they asked Jesus who he was, and he said, "Come and you will see. Come and you will see." And we gather, for we also want to see. We join to sing, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Says in the scriptures, next day John was there with two of his disciples. When they saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." We know what it is to miss you. When we're busy and distracted, we don't take time to stop, to be thankful, we also know what it is when you are there and we deliberately ignore you. And we also know what it is to refuse to share about you with other people. But we thank you for all those things in our lives that are good, that bring us joy, the things that make us happy, but also those challenges that we've overcome, those times when we kept on going and now look back and we can have joy at it. We even thank you for those really difficult things that happened. And looking back, we can see that there were times of real growth for us. That they've helped us to be better people. And we thank you for the message of Jesus to the disciples. Not let me tell you, but come and be with me. And thank you that you are God who has come in Jesus to be with us. And you are God who through the Holy Spirit is interested in us and with us day by day. Thank you. Lord, we pray. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have offended us. And lead us not into temptation, but
can you hear me now? Right, I need a couple of helpers, please. Do you want to come help? No? Okay, that's fine. Now, somewhere up here, you will find, round the back there, among the chairs, you will find something that you might not expect to find in a church. Could you go and have a look? And you find something that you might not... Oh, Sophia's on the case. Well done, bring it out here. Can you hold it very high so that people can see? What have we got? What is it? It's an elephant. It's a hippopotamus. It's a pan. Well, I wonder what a pan's doing in church. It's a bit odd, isn't it? Now, there's something else, which probably shouldn't be in the church, but you might like it. If you went and looked somewhere over there in the area of the piano, you might find something that would be much more interesting. Can you see anything? You might have to go round right by the piano. No, that's the organ. Come back this way a bit. Ha-ha, she's seen it. Right, so we've got a pan and we've got some chocolate coins. Now, when you saw the pan, did you by any chance think, I wonder what that's doing there? No, perhaps? And what did you think when you saw the coins? Did you say, wow, chocolate coins? Not saying very much at the moment. All going on in her head, I'm sure. And I wonder, Barry's keen. Jolly, should we share them with Daddy? That would be nice. Anyway, what I was thinking was, and the grown-ups might find this rather a strange connection, when people first saw Jesus, I wonder if some of them might thought, he's a strange man. I wonder what he's doing here. I wonder why he's here. And some people might have thought, like when you saw the coins, oh, wow, this is wonderful. I want more of this. I want to tell everybody else about it. I wonder how you would have felt. Should we go and share the coins?
We join to sing, Give Me Joy in My Heart. See you later. The second Isaiah, maybe three definitely two. Second Isaiah, there is a section which are called the servant songs. And this passage that we're about to hear describes the mission of God's true servant to reveal God's glory, to restore God's people, and to receive honour from God. And Isaiah portrays the servant as lamenting over the fact that Israel has repeatedly failed to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And this first reading we read to us by Stuart Chandler.
This is Isaiah 49, verses 1 to 7. Listen to me, distant nations, you people who live far away. Before I was born, the Lord chose me and appointed me to be his servant. He made my words as sharp as a sword. With his own hand, he protected me. He made me like an arrow, sharp and ready for use. He said to me, Israel, you are my servant. Because of you, people will praise me. I said, I have worked, but how hopeless it is. I have used up my strength, but have accomplished nothing. Yet I can trust the Lord to defend my cause. He will reward me for what I do. Before I was born, the Lord appointed me. He made me his servant to bring back his people, to bring back the scattered people of Israel. The Lord gives me honor. He is the source of my strength. The Lord said to me, I have a greater task for you, my servant. Not only will you restore to greatness the people of Israel who have survived, but I will also make you a light to the nations, so that all the world may be saved. Israel's holy God and Saviour says to the one who is deeply despised, who is hated by the nations and is the servant of rulers, kings will see you released and will rise to show their respect. Princes also will see it, and they will bow low to honour you. This will happen because the Lord has chosen his servant. The holy God of Israel keeps his promises. Amen.
Amen. So at the moment we are in a narrative going through Matthew's gospel, but the compilers of what is the lectionary, which is the readings that we use week by week, have veered off into the gospel according to John. And Jesus says to them, to the disciples, when they encounter him, come and see. Come and see. And you might remember that's the same wording used to Mary when it is come to the tomb and see that it is empty. And then finally, believe. And Sally Butler will lead this passage to us.
This reading is from John chapter 1 and it's verses 29 to 42. The next day, John saw Jesus coming to him and said, "There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'A man is coming after me, but he is greater than I am, because he existed before I was born.' I did not know who he would be, but I came baptizing with water in order to make him known to the people of Israel. And John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and stay on him. I still did not know that he was the one, but God, who sent me to baptize with water, had said to me, 'You will see the Spirit come down and stay on a man. He is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' 'I have seen it,' said John, 'and I tell you that he is the Son of God.' The next day, John was standing there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus walking by. 'There is the Lamb of God,' he said. The two disciples heard him say this and went with Jesus. Jesus turned, saw them following him, and asked,
"What are you looking for?" They answered, "Where do you live, Rabbi?" This word means teacher. "Come and see," he answered. It was then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So they went with him and saw where he lived and spent the rest of that day with him. One of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. At once he found his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah." This word means Christ. Then he took Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas. This is the same as Peter and means a rock." Amen.
Amen.
It's not all about me. I'm John and I do what I do because it's right for me to do it. Since before I was born, and you may remember the story, there were things that were different. My parents had waited for me. Like the prophet Isaiah, I was called by God since the time I was in the womb. Maybe you feel that too. To know that God had a particular plan for you since before you were born. But the whole thing about my story, the important thing about my story, is that it's not a story with me at the center. I'm the center, of course, of my story, but He is the center of the story, the world's story. He is the one that everybody had been waiting for. I'd spoken about him. I told my followers that he was coming, and so he did. I saw him. "There he is," I said. "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," I said, and I pointed him out. And then they asked where he remained. "Inhabited," he said, "come and see." That's how you get to know somebody. You remain with them. You stay with them. And also, you've got to be very sure of yourself to invite somebody to be with you for a chunk of time. Come and see. That's how my followers got to know me. The others, of course, they were always trying to find out who I was. Here I am, I'm me. I'm not Elijah, whatever you might think. I'm not the Messiah either. Let's just nip that in the bud. Regardless of what people have tried to make me be and say about me, I have a role, it is mine. I know what I have to do, but I am not Elijah and I am not the Messiah either. I have a tiny part to play and I know what that part is. And I did it. It's not the usual way of behaving, but it was what was needed from me. It's about what God needed from me, and I did it. It's not all about me. And I've always known that. And that is okay. Now, nobody knows anything about me would know that I'm not sentimental. Nobody would accuse me of that. But it is possible to be rigorous and focused and allow somebody else to shine. Especially if he is who we believe he is, then of course we want him to shine. And we don't have to be in separate camps, me and my disciples and him and with his disciples, opposing teachers. That's not how we want it to be. My job was always to point towards him. So I knew that it was going to come to this, that one day he would appear and that everything would change. And the chances were that the guys who followed me would leave me. And sure enough, they did. Not blaming, not hurt, well, not too hurt. Not blaming, not too hurt. They're right, of course. My job was always to point towards him. And if on a dark night I do feel it, I was the one who said, he is God's son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It was me, I said it. Yes, of course they found him out to be engaging and they wanted more. Rabbi, where do you live? Reasonable question. Come and see. I remember, of course, at his baptism, I knew that something was going on. All these people turning up to get back in touch with the foundations of our faith, returning to the basics of it. Our faith that had become corrupted. People wanting to get back in touch, wanting to be baptized. And then he appears. Did I recognize him? Well, sort of. But there's not a great family resemblance, and I have loads of cousins. But if he is who I thought he was, and if he is who I think he is, then what on earth was he doing coming for baptism? And even more amazing, what was he doing coming for baptism administered by me? I felt it. I said it. He said, do it. It's okay for now. And the heavens opened, and I was right. He was who I thought he was. Who? Well, God. In my hands? Well, it's just too much. I know what God's hair looks like. I know how muscly God's back is. Down, up, heaven's open. First thing people ever heard him say was, what are you seeking? What are you looking for? That's a good question. What are you seeking? In your life, what are you seeking? Says Jesus. And from him, what are you seeking? The followers, my disciples, they wanted to know. They went to see. They left with him. He was always the one who had the answer. My whole life had been building towards the fact that he was the one who had the answer. Indeed, he was the one who was the answer. What are you looking for? The answer for me was always, I am looking for you. I am looking for people to turn to you. And that is what my whole life has been about. So what about the future then? Now that he has started his ministry, what about my ministry? Well, you might think that the future looks a bit bleak. or empty. But I'm clear, I have my calling since before I was born. I don't do it for the applause. I have things to do, a life to lead. My life, step by step, little bits, was always about pointing towards him. And I might look a bit odd to you with my long hair and my odd clothes, but I believe that God has called me and I have a truth to tell. And I believe it's my job to tell the truth. There's Herod to speak to, for example. Now, he really does need a challenge in the way that he lives his life. There's truth to be told. And I know that God will be with me, however it turns out. Let us pray. Give us the confidence to believe, loving God, that there is meaning and purpose in our tiny lives. And that you have a plan for us, and we can work with you in the living of our lives. And help us to live day by day in a way that points towards you. Lord, we pray. Amen. We join to sing, O God, you search me and you know me.
Thank you.
We join to pray. Let us pray. Come and see. We pray for those who can't. And we pray for those who are working hard day by day to improve the sight of others. Surgeons and opticians, people making glasses and people doing research. And come and see, in the sense of come and understand, for those who preach and for those who write books, for theologians and philosophers, and for those interested in learning more and applying it to the living of a good life. And we pray for those whose sight is failing, and for those whose understanding is not what it has been. And we pray for those who are so focused on the everyday and the task in hand that they never stop to lift up their eyes and to see. And we pray for those who are so busy with the day-to-day tasks that they never take time to examine the why, the who, and to understand some more, and to see. Pray for those that we love, for whom we are concerned. Pray for those who have no experience of Jesus, and we pray for those we know whose experience of Jesus is narrow and brutal and repressive. Come, Lord Jesus. Open our eyes to see you day by day, and open our mouths to speak of you. We pray for those places in our world where we cannot see any indication of a God of love. The regime in North Korea, the brutality in the thinking of the terrorist. The arrogance of the dictator holding on to power. We pray for peace. We pray for justice. We pray for people living brave lives, loving others. And we pray for ourselves. Be with us at those times when we do not see. Too puzzled, something's not right, somebody's hurt us. And help us to be among those who live lives where we could invite another to come with us and see. And we offer our prayers, the half-formed words that express our heartfelt feelings. And we bring them in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So we continue our worship as we make our offering. All that we have and all that we are, have come from you. We respond with the giving of our lives, with the gifts of our money, and the awareness that all our time is yours. In Jesus' name, Amen. The hymn, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. go in peace, to love and to serve the Lord. And let us know this week the Lord Jesus invites us day by day and says, come and see. Amen.